to be like you, but that's what you tell us to be. One day, when we walk into heaven, we'll see you face to face, and you tell us then we'll be like you are. We'll finally be changed completely. Until then, Lord, we ask you to save us. We're justified, as we sang today. And then we're sanctified. You set us apart for your use, and then one day we'll be glorified when we walk in and have your body and your mind, and are just like you. Until then, it's a goal for us. You tell us in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we know we can't do that. So when we stumble, I'm glad for verses like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus, these promises that we stand on come straight from your word. So help us know it well. Help us to put it to use. Help us to honor you, and today, Jesus, now draw us close to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Picture those old Christmas stories. You know, Grandpa sitting at the with a rocking chair, and all the kids gather around him, and he's, all right, I'm going to tell you a story, and I think that's cool. Picture Jesus today, not me, teaching you a lesson, and draw close. We are in God's house with God's people and studying God's book. Some people think the Bible is just a bunch of do's and don'ts, and here's what you got to do, and if you keep them, and if you'll get to heaven. If you don't keep them, then you're going to hell. That couldn't be more false and heresy or whatever you want to call it. Some people think there's too big. Remember those scales like this? You know, all the good goes over here and all the bad goes over there, and whichever one weighs the most, and that's where you end up. My, how bad that is. Which side of the scales would be definitely down on the ground for you and me, Joey? That's the bad side. And you say, well, I'm not that bad a guy. Okay, let's just pretend that you only make one mistake every 8 hours. You're a walking angel if you can do that, by the way. But anyway, that's 3 a day. That's pretty good. What's at the end of a week? 21. What's at the end of a month? 84. What's at the end of a year? 1,096. What's at the end of a lifetime? 70,000. So you're going to stand before a judge and say, I've only messed up 70,000 times. He'd throw the book at you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stand in front of God one day. But just think, if you counted up all the sins and said, Edgar, you have sinned. Well, we lost count. That's just how it is. And yet, my lawyer, Jesus, scoots back. And he stands and says, Your Honor, God the Father, I've paid for Edgar's all his sins. You're right. Edgar's innocent. And the prosecutor on the other side of the room, the devil, doesn't like that. God, it's all right. That's the way it is when you've asked Jesus to save you. So it's not a bunch of rules and regulations. But for a while, has anybody ever had rules at their work, at their rules, at their school? Yeah, rules, rules. We hear rules and regulations. We hear this word rules. We follow the rules. We say no to the rules. We can have gym rules. Put away your weights because your mama's not here. I've actually seen that on the wall before because your mom picks up after you so much. You might have rules for operation of a grinder. Or you can have rules. Here's the rule book. Memorize it. You can have so many rules that you just get carried away with them. And then some people actually think this, probably the most famous rule, the golden rule, treat others the way you'd like others to treat you. You say, well, that's pretty good. But again, that's almost like a philosophy to some people. It's not God's word. It is God's word, and it should be. But I'm just saying some people, they quote that and don't even know what it means. So what about all these rules? Rules help us to know what to do, what to avoid. Rules give us a set of guidelines. Rules keep us from getting hurt. Rules let us realize we can do wrong, because if it wasn't for the law, we wouldn't even know we were messing up. So give me a rule that's a speed limit. Is that a rule or a regulation? Yes. You say, I didn't even know what the speed limit was. Now that the speed limit's on there, you'll know that you messed up. Right, Chris? Chris didn't get a speeding ticket. I shouldn't have said. If I don't know the speed limit, then it's hard to keep it. So, by the way, I've heard that policemen would say to this, I've had some in my classroom at driver's ed, and they speak and they say, ignorance of law is no what? No excuse. Do you know what speed limit is? I sure don't. You're still speeding. So there's your ticket. They're not going to let you off just because you don't know it. But there's tons of rules to keep up with. And then so we come up to the Judeo-Christian world that we know it, and they got some rules. And what are the rules? That's the most famous set, I guess. Wouldn't it make sense? God gives us some rules to keep us from harm. And those rules are, you guessed it, the Ten Commandments. Again, though, we know these. If you want to look in Exodus chapter 20, Joy's going to give you a Bible. If you need one, anybody need a Bible? Thank you, Joey. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And as you look at these commandments, I just want to give you these. We're going to mention them a little bit, and you can add to my message today. I'm sure some things will pop to your mind. But here's what I want to try to get across to you. We are not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. No effort that you could ever do gets you saved. But it's just like, for lack of a better, how about this? God brings these people out. And I started to go through the F and F today, but I'll at least, you know, God starts off with Adam and Eve, and they messed up, and you know that was the fall of man. And so God starts all, you know, let's try to keep going, and yet now nothing's good. So we have the flood, wipe it all out and start again. I guess everybody's perfect from then on. No, people were bad after the flood. And then God lets them be for a while, and then blah, 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 blah. What's this? Tower of Babel. Men try to build their way to heaven, still leaving God out. So God says, okay, I'm not going to destroy the world again. By the way, what was His promise that He wouldn't? The rainbow. He says, I won't destroy the world again. Let's just raise up a man. And remember, we formed an A with our hands, Abraham. So Abraham has a covenant, people, place, and things. And he's going to start it all over. And he has two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob has 12 sons, one daughter, Dinah. And is it going to be pretty good? Well, Joseph comes along. And no, people still don't model themselves after our Abrahamic covenant. So they missed all this stuff. Is just, we're naturally sinful, aren't we? We've got a sin nature. You don't have to teach a little child to jerk a tablecloth off. You don't have to teach us to be mean. We just seem like we're good at that. So after going through Abraham, go through all the sons, Joseph is sold into slavery. He rose to second in command. He brought his family into Egypt, and then there's slavery in Egypt for 430 years. So where are we at in this time? We went through the book of Genesis, and all those people were right where we used to be. Still a slave to sin. We're not a slave to the Egyptians. We're just a slave to sin. So God raises up a leader. Raises up a leader. That's how we did this. We stroke the beard and plant the staff. Moses. Moses. And then, I got to have both hands here. So God raised up a leader, Moses. And then we signed the adoption papers. Adoption of Moses. Pull a gun trigger right here. Moses murdered. Moses ran. God called Moses at the burning bush. By the way, God is calling Moses right there to be a leader. What did we just now say? Moses said what? God killed somebody. So don't you dare sit there and say, oh, God can't use me. Moses is a murderer. And yet, so here's God raised up a leader, Moses. Adoption of Moses. Pharaoh's daughter raised him. Adoption of Moses. Moses murdered. Moses ran. God called Moses at the burning bush. Confrontation with Pharaoh. Pharaoh wouldn't let him go, so we started those 10 plagues. Water to blood, second plague, frogs, third plague, lice, fourth plague, flies, fifth plague, death, death of the cattle. Sixth plague, boils, seventh plague, thunder and hail, eighth plague, locusts, ninth plague, thick darkness, tenth plague, death of the firstborn. Pharaoh, hard-headed Pharaoh, finally says, okay, I'll let him go. So we open up the door, we exit Egypt. And then God's got to lead him. But here's a bunch of renegades. Some people say that this could have been 1.5 million people. Some conservatives say, well, at least 500,000. I don't care what. You think Moses has got some responsibility? And yet when they broke camp, they knew everybody. When they would set up camp, they had everything in place. You'd have the tribe right here. Wow, so he knows all these? Yeah, here's Judah and there's Naphtali, or Naphtali, however you want to say that. Over here's Issachar. And what was in the middle of the camp? That was a tent of meeting. That was a holy of holies. That's where we go worship God. God's going to be in the center of everything. So Moses is going to lead these people out. So exit from Egypt. Don't squeeze the Charmin. Here's squeezing the white cloud. So remember, cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. So God's leading them out, and they come to a place that they cannot get away from. Pharaoh's coming up behind them. God parts the Red Sea. They go across Pharaoh. Their problems are behind them. So now that they've crossed the Red Sea, parting of the Red Sea. Keep traveling, and here's where God says, okay, can you imagine God saying this? We've got to come up with some rules right here. Doesn't your mom do that? You know, we're going to Uncle Billy's swimming pool. Now, here's what we're going to do when we go over there. Here's rules one. Don't run at the pool. Don't we do that? We're getting out. How many people have had rules for the car with your kids sometimes? You know, don't put your head out the window, okay? Don't put your brother out the window. You know, it's like, you're right. Don't throw anything out the window. So we got to have rules for the car, and then we got to have rules for the trip. Well, here's God saying, okay, we're going to have some rules. We're going to have some rules, and y'all better obey the rules. Because if you don't, Mama's going to get mad. And when Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Okay. And when Mama says, if I had to stop his car, if I had to stop it. Well, can you imagine God saying, here's my rules. What rules would you have come up with? Susan, you got rules for classroom. No talking. Stay in your seat. Be nice. Be polite. Put away the knife. You know, stuff like that is... No, I don't... show you how things had changed when I was in high school. I remember David Jackson, taller black guy. We played basketball together, stuff like that. David's a good guy. He and I would... David was better than me. Everybody was better than me. But anyway, David was better than me. And so in gym class one day, David said, I'm going to pick Edgar. He came over there, and all these Steve Creech and Buddy Bales and all the big guys playing varsity basketball. And I was only in about the, you know, eighth or ninth grade. And here's David picks me. And David went like this and all that. And he jumps up and tips it, and it was sudden death. I grabbed it, put it on the floor, scored. Coach Clark says, I guess y'all need to sit down. He just now told three of his varsity players to sit down. I went, see ya. And so we start again. David looks over there, same thing, tip it, put it on the floor, pump fake. That guy goes, score again. People can't believe this little skinny guy named Edgar Moser weighs probably 100 pounds. Me and David just going to hop up, yeah, we're just setting them down. And they finally come over, I guess we start guarding them this time. So David tips to me, I pump fake, give it back to him, and he scores. I said, y'all going to start playing? Can you imagine the varsity players getting mad? We're just spanking them time after time. So, and Coach Clark, he's laughing, you know, because we are beating his players. All because they take us for granted. So he says, okay, we'll come up with some rules. And I thought we had pretty good rules anyway. First person to score wins. It's a good rule, right? Yeah. As long as you're the first person that scores. Here's some rules then. Don't cheat. You say, well, some of these are obvious. You think those are obvious. Let's check out his Ten Commandments. Here's commandment number one. Now, I'm going to try to give them to you, and then I'll put them up here for you. But I just want you to think with me. What would God's first rule be? God's number one. First rule, he says, okay, guys, I need y'all to listen up, and here what we go. First, God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Or you can say it this way, I'm number one in your life. Do people do that? Again, it's funny to me because I didn't have to do it very long. I only had to do it about a week or so. When I went down to Paris Island, they had those young men come in that wanted to be Marines. And they treated us like Marines for a couple of days, and they finally eased up and says, let me tell you what we do. They got a set of rules. You walk through chrome doors, and we sit down to listen to people. Somebody asked and said, when will we go back to them? They said, you'll never go back through the chrome doors again. You enter it through once, and that's one way. You'll never be the same once you leave here. And I thought, that's sort of cool. And I said, well, what do you do when people show up? And they said, okay, here's what we do. Those young guys who are 18 or whatever, 19, 21, we give them a script. And we stand beside them at the payphone. We lift it up and hand it to them. And they go, Mom and Dad, I am at Paris Island. I will see you in about 30 days. I love you. Click. Who wants the phone next? That was it. And now you don't see a phone for 30 days. 30 days, not they get back. It's 13 weeks. You do not talk on the phone. Whatever you like, I'll take away from you. If Joy says, I like my hair. It's gone. I like my personal space. Then... when we were standing in the line to get food, my nose in the neck of the person in front of you. And his nose is in the neck, and we're cramming. We probably had 30 people from here to the door with a tray like this. If you like space, it's gone. You like your hair, it's gone. Oh, my mama. Phone's gone. So our rules are this. What were the Marines really saying? We are what? Number one in your life. We own you. For the next 13 weeks, you will do exactly what we say. Guess what God's rule was? I'm your God. Do what I say, and it's going to work out well. If you don't, well, you just don't want to. Wonder if any of the Israelites are just shaking. Oh, yeah. Why didn't we just stay in Egypt? Oh, where we were slaves? Yeah, that'd been Have no other gods before me. Second God, second rule, don't make any graven images. Some people just have to have something to see. Remember Aaron formed a golden calf because people just had to see something. What do they call it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things. If you can see it, it's not faith. I want you to believe I got something in my hand, Joy. That's not, really? That's not faith, that's observation. So God says, I'm number one, have no other gods before me. Number two, don't make any graven images. Well, we'll have to have faith to believe in you. And then this third thing, this thing of what? What's the third commandment? Don't take my... And these people say, oh, good God. Excuse me just a minute. What did you say? I'm sorry, did I? Yeah. Quit swinging my name around like that. I mean, if my students went down to Salem Hallway and said, yeah, Moser guy, he got... Can I talk to you, man? Yeah. You know, it's like, you can't call me Moser. You can't call... Would you do that to a boss? Can I talk to you, boss? Yeah, here's your old hag right here. Yeah. I don't even like when people say, yeah, the old lady, she's in the... Old lady? You just called your wife the old lady? God says, I'm number one. Don't make any graven images. Don't take my name wrong. When people say, oh, Jesus Christ. Unless you're praying, better not be doing that. And God's last name is not Dan, you know. So I don't know, why do people pick God's name to do that? Because when people are, Mark, sometimes if somebody, you love them too, you always hurt the ones you love, it seems like. Why do we pick something to really want to hurt someone, you know? Well, we do that to God. What's the most disrespect you can do? Use His name in vain. Wow, that's ugly to Him. I'm number one, God says. Don't make any graven images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And the fourth one, what would that be? Still deals with God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I need to meet with you. Now, so let's put those in everyday language. God says, I'm number one. Don't make any substitutes for any of that. You see me, I'm have faith in me. Well, we can't see you. Then have faith in me. Third, don't use my name wrongly. And fourth, we need to meet together. So I need to check up on y'all and sort of, you know. So here's what, when Moses, I go to the 10 commandments. Here's the 10. I unroll the scroll. 10 commandments. And there's point at your heart. That's moral law, because we're supposed to be moral before God. Moral law. And then there's, I put my arm around my imaginary friend. That's social law. Moral law and social law. So the first four commandments deal with God. Last six deal with who? Man. And what's the first promise, commandment with the promise? That's the fifth commandment. Obey your parents. So we now says, so God says, I'm number one. Don't make any graven images. Don't misuse my name. And what was that fourth one? Come to church. Yeah, I want you to worship with me. And now we've taken care of me. You say God gets to go first? Absolutely. God always goes first. What's Matthew 6:33 say? But seek ye first kingdom of God. Now the last six commandments, he says, okay, honor your father and mother, first commandment with the promise. And then he says, can you imagine? It's almost funny, but I know it's not. He's going to take away their fun. Not really. You know, if somebody says, well, then you don't do it. Here's their fun. You cannot kill people. Oh, great. Imagine being at summer camp. Now, y'all can't kill one another. No explosives. Oh, I need all the guns. God, no fun at all. Well, that's about what God says, don't kill. Right? Man, you're taking away all our fun. I've got these commandments up here. I had you turn to them too. The Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. Do you think Susan, again, is this elementary school sort of? Yeah. He's treating these guys like elementary kids. Do not run. What do you mean by that? So here's God says, I am the Lord your God. You've went through leaders after it. You went through Abraham. You've went through Jacob and Isaac. You've went through all those. Let me just spell it out for you. If you want to be close to me, here's my 10 rules for you. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Brand new start, brand new beginning. So what? Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. I'm number one. Don't you substitute anybody else. Next one, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven. So we cannot have a graven image. Don't bow down to anything else. 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. In other words, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Next one, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then he explains 6 days you're going to labor. But those first 4 commandments, remember, go to God. And then he says, honor your father and mother. And then he takes away all their fun. Don't kill. Well, don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. That means don't lie. And then don't covet. If he hadn't said it in all those others, don't covet. Don't want something that you don't have, because that is the root of many sins. I got to have this. Wow. Do you think after they heard these rules, verse 18, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself or we will listen. Do not have God speak to us or we'll die. And then Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. I got to read that again in case you missed it. What's fear of God? Really, that word can be respect. It's a healthy and a strong respect. If someone's got a healthy fear of water, then they won't be more apt to drown. Or some people jump in the pool and, can you swim? No. Then you don't fear water. Well, it's all right. Nobody. Do you really fear the policeman? Or if you did, you wouldn't go 80. I don't care what he does. Wow. And if my mom and daddy would say something to me, I would always, my mama had a unique way. I'd come in the post office, slam the door going out one day because she's in there working. She said, you need to come back in here and sit down. Out of respect, I came back and sat down. So then she said, you sit right there. And then she turned around and took the mail and started putting it up. Just whistling. That burned me up because she's happy and I'm miserable. And then after she puts the mail up, she says, you think you can go out now the right way? Then I go on out. If my daddy said, I need to see you, I'll be there when I feel like it. I would never say that to him because I wouldn't be standing here today. Pull his belt off and whip all 5 of us. Tim never got whipped. He was... No, just all of us got whipped. And we'd put our hands back there before the feel the leather belt, and they'd say, ow, get your hand out of the way. Daddy never abused us. He whipped us when we needed it. I think you'd agree. We never got whipped as much as we needed it. Yeah. Daddy said, the next time you and Lanny fight, I'm going to whip you. We ran out to the, he pulled in that afternoon from work. Hey, Daddy, we've been fighting. You know, I don't know if we just wanted attention or wanted to be whipped, but I mean, and then I'd always say, whip Lanny first. And then while he was whipped and crying, I'd go, I'd make fun of him. Then Daddy whipped me too. So it's like, Daddy had certain rules and I followed him. I would never think, I never ran away from home. I never, did I ever back talking? Had to be mild if it was. I just had too much respect for him. I pulled my Ford Tempo into the driveway up here at the house one day at Giles, and it was muddy and it was slick. And I thought, I got to, now it's stuck up. And I got to back, and Daddy come out there and he says, let me help you. And I thought, and now, before I even thought, I said, let me back it up. Daddy says, no, let me get in there and drive it. You push it. I thought, absolutely. Now, he didn't do that because he's being mean. He knew how to drive better than I did. He knew how to rock the car better. And so he rocked it back, and I'd push it. It'd come back, and I finally push it. He hit it, about spun mud up on my... And we finally got out of there. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, no, Daddy, that's all right. That's fine. I don't know. I just respect the man. When I come up there, and I was putting aluminum... wasn't aluminum. It was vinyl siding on my brother Lanny's mobile home. They got a reason why people don't put siding on a mobile home. But anyway, I was doing it that day, and Daddy says, can I tell you something? I said, absolutely. And he said, you might not want my help. I said, Daddy, you've forgotten more than I know. You go ahead. Now, I guarantee you, I feel like I'm giving my examples, and that's ones I know best, but I guarantee you, I thought, Karen and Janet back there, ask them if they love Joseph Simmons. I mean, ask, do you love Joe Patterson? Absolutely. And Joey would do stuff his daddy told him without a hesitation. Now, can you imagine that multiplied 100 times? That's God. kind of say, would you? You know what the best, absolute best way we can we keep these commandments? I got something better. I'll show you. First four were moral laws. Last six were social. So God says, get along with me, and you'll get along with everybody else. You put me first, and I'll take care of that woman at the boss that you just can't stand. I'll take care of that principal that you just don't like, Edgar. Can you kill him? No, I will not. I will not kill him, but I might change you. So moral law and social law. So Ten Commandments. So do we still have to obey the Ten Commandments today? Well, keep in mind what Jesus told us. Here's what Jesus said. Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. So Jesus kept the Ten Commandments, so to speak. He kept them because you can. He kept them because I can. So Jesus says, I will keep the commandments, and that way you can accept my grace and forgiveness. It's almost like I'm taking accounting and I'm thinking, oh, I hate accounting. Lord, I made a 57 on my last test, and Jesus says, you want me to take the test for you? Is that okay? In this case, it is. Let me take it. That's 100. Give Edgar 100. Now apply that to grace, and that's what he's done when he saved us. God says, keep the commandments, Edgar. I can't. I don't know how many commandments, the ones you've broken. We won't share that in front of everybody. I know one man that's broken them all. That was Moses. Remember, he broke all the commandments. Y'all just went right over your head. Just. I've broken enough commandments, and God says, let me step in and help you with this. So, Lord, do I still have to keep them? Sure. You try your absolute best, but if you don't, my grace takes over. I don't ever disrespect God and say, I don't do what I want to. Matthew, rich young ruler came up and said, someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing must I do to obtain eternal life? Now, remember, Jesus is going to answer with the Ten Commandments in the background here. And he said to him, why are you asking me about what's good? There's only one who's good, and if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Why did Jesus tell him that? Because he's a Jewish man. Okay, let me just say, if I need to be saved, keep the commandments. You say, oh, so we do keep the commandments to be saved. No, Jesus just knew this man's heart. Bear with me. Keep the commandments. And then he said, which ones? Does this man really want to be saved? No, right there show you his heart. If I go to the doctor and I say, whatever you tell me to do, if I can get rid of this cancer in my body, you tell me. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to drink lots of fluids. Which ones? Who cares? Just do what he says. Well, which ones? I don't want to do anything more than I have to do. Well, don't. Or he's taking all their fun away. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. A young man says, all these I've kept. All these I've kept. You've never broken one of those? You liar. You just now lied. You haven't kept those. I've had people tell me that before. I said, now, has there been a time you've asked Jesus into your heart? Oh, I grew up in a church. I thought, must sure have been crowded on Sunday mornings, you getting ready and all. I mean, you grew up in a church? Is that where you live? Well, no, not really, but I mean, I've always been saved. There's no such thing. How could you have always been a Christian? You can't remember a time that you've asked Christ to come into your life? I think I am. Hope I am. Woo. I think I've taken my heart medicine. Hope I have. I would make sure, wouldn't you? Jesus said to him, if you want to be complete, go and sell all your possessions. He knew where his heart was. So why don't you go sell what you have and give to the poor? And you'll have treasure in heaven. At that, the man walked away. And I just thought this was cool that Jesus says, keep the commandments. He knew what his heart. No, I've kept those. No, you haven't. Well, I'll tell you what then. Why don't you just do this? Why don't you go get rid of the thing that you love more than me? What's commandment number one say? Thou shalt have... What was this man's God? His money. You know, I take my wallet out and say, here's a picture of me and Jimmy. It's, how? Can you imagine my picture? Here's a picture I love. That's a $100 bill. I know. I love it. Wow. Imagine that in a museum. Now, right here is the... Show them a dollar bill on the wall. Sort of scares me when people do that. There's the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Can we memorize these? Well, again, you got to get every word perfect. No, you don't. God just, I'm leading up to what I want you to, how you can keep the commandments. Do you still need to keep a commandment of saying God's first? We certainly do. Don't make any other idols. Is there anything wrong with this commandment? Millions in the world need to hear this commandment. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. It's not about an idol. It's not about something you can see. He said, you just love me with your heart. Wow. Okay. And don't take the Lord's name in vain. Has the world advanced so far that we don't need this one? Of course not. Men, women, children, we use God's name in vain and we just don't even bat an eye at that. Keep a Sabbath day. Bottom line, come to church. We always seem so busy. We need rest. We need physical rest, spiritual rest. We need the Sabbath or God would not have made it for us. And remember, He says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill people. The shortest of all commandments, having one less than the eighth commandment. Note, according to the King James Version, God forbids murder, the unlawful taking of a human life in private vengeance or otherwise. So is abortion murder? Absolutely. We're going to have a lot of doctors stand before God one day who performed thousands of abortions. You shall not commit adultery. Do we need more than one wife? No. Do we need to have a greater regard for the sanctity of a home? Absolutely. The devil's attacking couples, and then he attacks the family, and then he knows if he can tear down a family, he'll tear down society. Why? There are no rules. By the way, we go through these rules right here, and yes, rules are regulations. Don't steal. Don't lie. Just don't want what someone else has. Now, let me tell you, if we could get these away, even for people who aren't even Christians, they have some, I mean, Hell's Angels motorcycle gang, we probably don't steal his motorcycle, that's wrong. How do you know that? I mean, there's just something in us that knows right from wrong. Well, what is it today if we can scoot off of this rules? Pretty soon there will be no rules. And this society will just fall apart. So do you think we're there right now, maybe? Well, yeah. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So what would Jesus tell us? Do we need to keep the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. Let me give you a simple example. When I was at Roma Valley Christian Schools, I taught there for 10 years. I wanted pinstripe red uniforms. We hadn't bought uniforms in 15. We still had the same uniform. They'd never had but one. So we got holes in the pants and everything else. I think. They said, okay, you can have uniforms as long as you have a car wash. Well, thanks. So I had a car wash, and somebody said, let's put it up there. Let's charge $5 for every car that comes in. I must have learned this principle from God a long time ago. I said, no, I'm not going to charge $5 for a car wash. How about $10? Nope, nope. I just said, donations accepted. Really, it's a free car wash. And people would pull in, we'd wash their car, and they go, thanks, drive off. Now, if somebody would come over and say, oh, that wasn't a very good idea. They didn't. It's okay. It's all right. Somebody else comes in and says, well, here, at least take $5. Okay. Had a guy on a motorcycle pull in. And he said, you want to wash my motorcycle? I said, absolutely. So we scrubbed it all up. And he says, what do y'all think? And I said, whatever you want. Pulls out a $20 bill and hands it to me. I said, man, thanks a lot. God used it. Oh, it's all right. I know. God sort of does this. He looks at me and says, Edgar, you just do what you know to do is right. You mean He doesn't use the Ten Commandments on me? Almost no. Because if He keeps the Ten Commandments, you're going to be like that rich young mule. I'll keep this list no more, and when I'm through with this, I am out of here. Oh, okay. So if I say, Chris, here's a broom, sweep this sanctuary when you get through. Okay, it's through. Well, thanks, Chris. How about this? Maybe you just clean it up the way you clean up your own home. I come back 2 hours later, she's still here cleaning. So do you want somebody to just get by? Or do you want somebody to really do it the right way? So God says, Edgar, I tell you what. And He didn't redo the Ten Commandments, but He come up in the New Testament and said this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That'll take care of everything. You mean I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments? You just love me. My mama, all she had to do is just say, you do what's right. Oh, I knew you'd say that. She didn't even have to have a set of rules. I was like this guy. And I will get more out of a player without rules sometimes. Does that make sense? You practice. you got to shoot 10 free throws. And everybody hates me all the time they're shooting. I said, Joey, I tell you what, you just shoot until you feel comfortable. And I'll have somebody every once in a while, they shoot one, walk off. But most of them will go, and I'll go over and say, hey, you need to go home. Nah, I still need to practice it. See, I'm getting more out of them than I would with a set of rules. God wants the best out of you, and he does that, I think, today by saying, you're not under Mosaic law, so we don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. No, no. That ought to be a good guideline, and it is a good starting place. But I want to be like this guy. It says, I want to do something that maybe not even expected of me. In other words, do more than's asked of you. Wonder what kind of world it would be. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a commandment. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you do this. Sort of narrowed things down and kept, well, how about have no other gods before me? It's taken care of. How about don't make any graven images? Taken care of. Don't say my name wrong. Good God Almighty. I don't even like that song on the radio. It's Good God Almighty. I mean, it's like, it's weird. I just, remember me, come to my house, worship with fellow Christians. That's taking care of all that. And you don't have to tell me, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. Well, if you love your neighbor, you won't do those things to him. You won't covet what he has. You won't kill him. You won't steal. You won't... Is that tough to do? Only by the grace of God. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I'm glad we can serve you today. We can put our soul in your hands. And Jesus, if it was keeping a set of rules, that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and keepers of the law, all those people thought, well, I've done what I have to do and I'm finished, and they'd go on home for the day. And you broke through all those laws. You didn't abolish the law. You fulfilled them by saying, love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And so, Jesus, here we are today. And is being a Christian keeping a set of rules? No. Being a Christian is loving you. Lord Jesus, you've loved us throughout eternity. You just want us to love you back. And when we love you with all our heart, there won't even have to be any rules. After a while, I can remember my mama doing that. She would just say, you know what to do. And she didn't even have to tell me a rule. I would just love, I loved her so much, I wanted to do the best I could. And God says the same thing. You love me with all your heart. That'll take care of the rules, because Lord, we don't want to disappoint you. We don't want to let you down. You suffered enough on the cross, Jesus. We don't want to put you through any more pain by us messing up. But I'm glad when we do, you forgive us, and we start off again. So today, Lord, here we sit before you. I pray that you'd open our hearts, help us to love you with all we are. May we give ourselves to you afresh and new. I pray for revival. I pray for a freshness on Life Point, a fresh wind, a fresh fire that's in us. May we not be stagnant. May you, Lord, change us. Work on us. Like clay, may you pound us and mold us and shape us the way you want us to be. So today, thank you for speaking to my heart. And Lord, again, it's not about keeping a bunch of rules. It's by simply loving you with all my heart. So Jesus, help us today as we close to honor you, to watch what we say, how we use your name, to make sure we don't lie or cheat or steal, or make sure we come to church, make sure we encourage one another. And Lord, pretty soon we're like that early church in Acts that just fell in love with you and never got over it. May we be like them. Lord, refresh us today. We thank you. Change us. Help us to be more like you, in Jesus' name. Amen.